Okay, well, it looks like Kathy's having a little bit of technical difficulties with her computer here, guys and gals, so I'm going to step in and take over. Gordon here, KY6V. I'm not sure where she was in the preamble, but I think probably up to around emergency checking and birthdays possibly. Do we have any emergency traffic that needs to be handled? Please call now. Okay, how about anybody celebrating their birthday, anniversary, anything special? If so, we'd like to recognize you right up front here on the net. Over. Okay, everything's quiet. We'll get things rolling here. Again, this is Gordon, KY6V. Kathy, thank you. I'm sorry you're having some connectivity problems. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for coming by the November TIN program with us tonight. We will be talking about telling time around the world. We'll be talking about how the standard got started, how time zones were created, and most importantly, how to easily understand this complex system and how to easily use it when needed. So to outline the subjects for this evening, we will be talking about the following. Why the system was put in place, who were the originators, where they placed the starting point, and what was their ultimate reason for all of this effort. In an additional section, we will be talking about the mathematics involved in determining the time zones. And then we will move on to how many time zones there are around the world and why are there more than 24. We're going to discuss what are the differences between GMT, UTC, and Zulu time. What is the difference about the 180th meridian time zone? And what is the best and quickest way to determine the time in any location on the globe? The program this evening will include a panel of our staff members who will be asking questions, giving comments, and hopefully this will include you in the audience. We are going to open with who, what, where, when, and how things got started in this time department. So let me buy a nickel and we'll get the program going. We'd like to open it by saying that time has been used in some way or fashion dating back to 2000 BC. Such things as sundials and Babylonian mathematics. But we're going to start tonight when the subject started to go viral with universal involvement. On November 1st, 1884, that was before my time, I'm glad to say, GMT was adopted universally at the International Meridian Conference in Washington, D.C. As a result, the international dateline was drawn up and 24 time zones were created. Today, GMT is used as the UK's civil time. So with that said, let's open with questions first from our panel and then to the audience, and we'll see how things rock and roll. David, I had you lined up here for one of your questions, if you'd be so kind. KB9EWG from KY6V in Southcart.
Well, good evening to you there, Gordon, and everybody else in Southcart. KB9EWG, Echo 2289, La Crosse, Wisconsin, where it is currently 38 degrees in overcast skies. Yes, good evening to you, Gordon. First, before I go into my question, I just wanted to make a quick comment. Every time I think of time or the concepts of time, I always think of the comedian George Carlin and his routine on time. Quite funny. If you haven't seen it, you know, maybe check it out on YouTube or something like that. That's a quite funny routine there. Anyways, the question I had here was, what was a reason or a motivation to establish a GMT time? KB9EWG, back to you there, Gordon.
Well, first, thanks for being with us tonight, Dave, from that cold and wintry portion of Wisconsin that you live in. And I did, thanks to you, you had put that in the text box, the YouTube site. You might do that again for the participants if they didn't catch it before. I listened to that, and I'm still chuckling about it. He just did a brilliant job. I'm talking about Carlin. On your question, well, and the question was, what is the reason or motivation that established all of this, guys and gals? Well, like anything else, it had its political and economical and geographical considerations. Dave, I think that's pretty obvious. But the maritime activity needed a better way for navigational needs. And at the time that this was starting to rock and roll, England was very heavy in the maritime activities. So they sort of led the way in getting people started. And we'll be touching that in more detail as we go along. Okay, let's see. I had Roger up next in the frozen Pennsylvania area. I don't know how cold it is, but it's warming up down here, Chief, and I'm smiling. KY6V to W4RFJ.
KY6V, this is W4RFJ. Well, good evening, Captain. And, you know, my question is why did they choose Greenwich, England, as the starting location? Why didn't they do like New Wales and or South Wales? What town is that Super Dave lives in? They could have used that as the starting point, and they'd probably be more accurate in their readings. Anyway, that's my question. Back over to you, Gordon, W4RFJ.
Well, you know, Dave is with us here tonight. Maybe we ought to let him answer that question for you. Well, good evening, Chief, and hi to the Admiral up there. It's my understanding that England already had an observatory located at this location that we're now using. And further, it was setting right on the first meridian, which made it awfully convenient and ideal for longitudinal consideration. So that's the only thing that I can say on that, Chief. Maybe some other comments will unfold further on that, but I guess you could have put it anywhere, but when you start with zero, it makes sense. What do you think, Chief? Over.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, just poking a little bit of fun at our good friend up there in the UK or over there across the pond, I still think they'd have much more accurate readings if Super Duper Dave was involved, but that's the Chief's opinion. Back over to you, Captain. Thank you, sir. W4RFJ.
Yeah, well, he'll be coming up here in a little bit, so I'll let him throw the kutus in your direction. All right, we're going to move into the next section here, guys and gals, and that's the mathematics involved in determining the time zones. And in the beginning, you know, nothing happened until the Shakers and the Bakers pulled out their old basket calculators and started working on the project. Being true mathematicians, they started at the front of the equation and proceeded on in the following manner. If the world rotates once a day, and that is equal to 24 hours, and further, if there are 360 degrees in the Earth's longitudinal circle, then by dividing 24 into 360, they could establish 24 time zones around the world, representing 1 hour each and representing 15 degrees of longitude each. Now, that sort of makes sense, doesn't it? For those of you who would like to take this a step further, the circumference of the world at the equator is 24,907 miles. And by dividing that by 360 degrees, each degree would represent 69.18 miles or 1,037.79 miles per time zone at that 15-degree figure that we mentioned earlier. So at this point, let's go back to our panel and audience to see if we have what they have to offer for this section. And the guy that's up, who's going to defend your comments, Roger, is David, GW8SZL. Good evening, old one from the ancient one, KY6V, over.
You're from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima. Yeah, good evening, Gordon, and to everybody on the net. My name is Dave, and I'm located 12 miles northeast of the capital city of Cardiff in South Wales in the United Kingdom. And, so while I had the, when I was a lot younger, I actually visited the Greenwich Observatory. And one of their tour guides was talking about time and why it was actually selected as to be the Greenwich Meridian. And basically, because they did an awful lot of time, work on the time for mariners, because obviously back then the UK was had a lot of naval shipping and merchant shipping going all around the world, they needed an actual way to calculate the longitude that the shipping was at. So they were actually using the Greenwich Meridian for the UK shipping. And I also had the honour of standing on the line itself, and I had my right foot as a positive longitude and my left foot as a negative longitude. Didn't feel any different, but it was. I did do that. Well, apparently a lot of people who go there just actually do that. I wonder if there's anybody else with any comments out there at the moment. From Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu, Lima.
Very good. Well, I didn't realize that you had spread-saddled the first meridian. I think that's great. Sometime you'll have to tell us if there was any magical pull from one side to the other, or an equal pull, or your body just started fibrillating and shaking, or just what? Well, you know, talking about the observatory, my research indicates, David, that it was a Mr. John Flamsteed, and I'll spell that, F-L-A-M-S-T-E-E-D, from England, who was a noted astronomer, engineer, and inventor. And obviously there were other people involved, but he seems to be the one that received the credits. Did you sort of pick up on that? Am I saying that correctly when you were at the observatory, David? Over.
Yeah, from GWNSNL. Yeah, that's correct, Gordon. His name was mentioned in other things as well that he was actually heavily involved in. But yes, that is, I can confirm that. And it's always been the home of the Astronomer Royal in the UK. That's the one who actually leads the, who's head of the actual university itself. And if you actually Google that, you'll find a lot of very, very commonly known names that people would know, and they were all based there. So it's deep in history for astronomy and other things at the Greenwich Observatory, and they've got the old telescopes there as well that were used for various different research, and discoveries and things like that. And if you ever get a chance to visit there, please do, because you'll find it extremely interesting. I think I was about 8 years old when I went there first, and that's backed by interest in astronomy, which is just happens to be another hobby of mine there, Gordon. From Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Well, that's all very interesting. I don't know if I'll ever have the chance, but I would certainly enjoy it if it does happen to visit that location and see it from the start. I've got a picture of Flamstead that I pulled off the internet in my photo gallery, and I was going to use that if it was appropriate for some of the promo work we've been doing on this program. Okay, well, thank you, David. Next in line from the panel, and we're going to be going here to the audience shortly, so get ready to push your PTT there, audience. N-O-7-O, you have a question for the group and any comments, and good evening, sir. You've been quiet this week. Over.
Well, good evening, Gordon, and good evening to everyone who's assembled for the TIN on time tonight. George, Echo 2304. And yes, I have a comment and a question. First, I thought I'd only have a question, but I have a comment, as it turns out. You mentioned you pulled a photo of Mr. John Flamstead. Now, I have to say this, okay. I would love to have had the acquaintance of a friend by the name of Flamsteed. I mean, you know, that would definitely be on my bucket list of friends to try to make, someone named Flamsteed. Especially since, as a percussionist, one of the things I had to learn in my sticking of playing percussion performance is a cadence called a flamadiddle, not to be confused with a flam seat, but it is related to time in the sense that instead of 4/16th notes, it's like a 64th note followed by one of the first 16th note, and then the other four in that beat. So there's a flamadiddle, there's a flamsteed, and I have great affinity for both. That said, since we're talking about time and time zones, Gordon, are there still 24 time zones, is it 24 and a half with Indiana being out there? Or, do we still have 24 time zones? KY6V on the TIN, NO70, over.
You've got me laughing, George. Thanks for coming by here this evening and being part of the panel. KY6V. Flamadilla, you say, huh? Well, okay. If that's the way that you want to play it that way, George. On your question of 24 hours, well, 24 time zones. There's actually about 40. And that's because there are some countries or part of countries who took it upon themselves to be different than others. If you don't mind, we'll go into this a little bit further in Section 3, and that's coming up next year, George. There are 40 time zones, and we'll try to explain that a little bit further. Is that okay with you, sir? Over.
Absolutely. I was so interested in this subject, knowing so little about it, that I definitely made time for this TIN tonight. Thanks, Gordon. KY6V on the TIN, NO70, over.
Well, it's about time, George. Thank you, kind sir. Before we go into our next section, which will be time zones, let's hear from the audience. Anybody out there have any comments so far? Want to just come aboard and say hello, tell us you're there, and that kind of thing? If so, suffixes only. And call now, please, KY6V for South Cars. Okay, you guys, you just sit back there and take copious notes and let us all have it as we wind through the program. We're going to go into the section here on how many time zones there are around the world, and as George asked, why there are more than 24. And I'll be very honest with you. This reminds me a little bit about an old saying that I have used through the years called the NIH syndrome. That's November India Hotel syndrome. And the NIH stands for Not Invented Here, which means they do not want to have any part of it since it was not their idea. Now, you know, that's just my anecdotes, guys and gals. It's, in all fairness, their decision is based on political and economic reasons and, you know, so on and so forth as it goes. So at this point, there are 40 time zones, 14 of which are countries or parts of countries who use 30 and 45 minute offset to the time zone hour. Now think about trying to schedule an activity worldwide, will you? You've got some that are on the hour at 30 minutes, some that are on the hour at 45 minutes, some who are on the hour when they should be on the hour. Some are a minus zone, some are a plus zone, and holy mackerel, Andy, here we go. So let's go back to the panel. David, KB9EWG, what you got as another question or comment, sir? Over.
First of all, I find this all fascinating, and just a quick comment here before I get to my question. Dave over there, the old one, was talking about observatories. Well, just a little piece of trivia. In Wisconsin, there's an observatory that I have visited a number of times called Yerkes Observatory. And that observatory contains the world's largest refracting telescope. And I said, so I've been to that observatory a few times there. Very fascinating stuff there, so... Observatories are a very fun place to visit if you can ever visit one. Anyways, on to my question. Can you give us a few examples of these NIH locations or not invented here locations and maybe their reasoning for being different? KB9EWG. Go ahead, Gordon.
Well, that's a good question, David. Thank you, KY6V. Scars TIN here for November. We're talking about time around the world. David, I'll give it a try. You know, I think that India would be one to talk about. It has two assigned time zones. And due to communication and business-related situations, they decided to have one time, and that is UTC plus 5.5. Or 30 minutes after the hour. So what they did was they just split the piece of pie in the middle and said, okay, this is the way you're going to do it, and that's the way they are currently operating and have been for quite a while. Australia is another example. They assigned three time zones originally, which were East, Central, and West Australia. And part of the Central section, for whatever reason, decided that they didn't like that and moved their time to 30 minutes after the hour. And this is just a small little portion down in the middle of Australia towards, you know, the southern portion of the continent. And I guess my favorite, David, is China. They have a landmass of equal to the United States, and by right should have five time zones. They only have one for the entire country. And my reading has indicated that this has happened when the Communist Party took over, and it was their belief at that time, and I guess still is, that a single time zone would show solidarity to the country. Is that any, all of that make any sense to answer your question, David? Over.
Yep, sounds clear to me there. Very interesting. Thank you there, Gordon. KY6B from KV90WJ.
Okay. Comrade in arms, thank you. Looks like we've got two Davids in a row here, don't we? We're going to go to GW8SZL over there, very, very close to that, close meridian. What you got on your mind, Mr. David, Eastern Atlantic? Over.
Yeah, from GW8SZL, yeah, that's all very interesting. And we're not going to go and throw daylight saving times into the equation, that's for sure. I know over in Newfoundland that they got the on Atlantic time and it's I got half past the hour or something. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, Gordon, would you like to explain what actually goes on with the international dateline meridian 180 as to its special and different points, please?
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a great question, David. I think they ought to write books on that subject. There are several special and different things that go on in that particular arena. And what we're discussing here is the 180th meridian, which is the international dateline. And that's where one day dies and another day is born. And those are my words and nobody else's. First, it's the only point on the planet, David, that shares yesterday and the new day at the same time. Second, it shares UTC minus 12 and UTC plus 12 time zones at the same time. Third, this time zone is not straight from pole to pole. It shares three time zones as it travels across the world from north to south or south to north. Now, David, I'm going to fess up here and say that, you know, all of this was said with tongue in cheek because we know that two opposite things can't share the same space at the same time. However, the nanosecond difference of the transfer is so fast that is barely able to determine at any rate. Any comments on that, sir? David, go ahead.
Yeah, from GW8SNL. Yeah, that's a very interesting line for sure. And the mind boggles just thinking about it there, Gordon. So no comments on that one from myself. Back to you from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Yeah, you know, if I can add in a quick note to that, David, I think that they're pretty smart and pretty wise. Because that international dateline at 180th meridian was placed in a part of the world where, and obviously, you know, it's the anti-meridian from zero there in England, but it comes through water areas as opposed to land areas. The most of the part they had to wiggle a little bit to bend the line, so they didn't split a country in half or thirds or whatever. They did do some fancy mathematics in getting some of the islands at the equator pushed in sort of out of perspective of everybody else. But all in all, it's a line driven through nowhere. So it shouldn't disturb people too much. Let me buy another nickel here. Okay, guys and gals, we're going to go into what is the... Well, let me just take a pause here before we go into the differences of GMT, UTC, and Zulu. Does anybody in the audience have any questions at this point or would like to say hello? If so, call in now, please.
Yeah, I'll say good day, Robert, VK2DY.
Hey, there's the guy down under that partially caused the reason for this CIN. Hello, Robert. Go ahead, KY6V.
Yeah, good morning, Gordon and Lynette. This is Robert, VK2DY, in Kelly Ridge, New South Wales, Metropolitan Sydney. It's 11:34 a.m. Friday morning, Australian Eastern Daylight Time. It is smoky weather down here. We're still dealing with the bushfires and probably will be for the next 3 or 4 months. Interesting enough, we've got, you're right about the time zone. The central time zone for Australia is in a half an hour. And I have yet to find out why it's on a half an hour, because Adelaide's at 138 degrees longitude. And that should put it solidly in the hour framework. So why they came up with this silly half-hour business, I don't know. But South Australia and the Northern Territory both do Central Time. But one, South Australia does Daylight Savings Time, and Northern Territory doesn't. So at this time, they're on different half hours than they would be in the winter. Very strange things. And of course, we mentioned before the four little towns on the South Australia, Western Australia border that split the difference between Western Australia time and Central time, and are in a 45-minute time zone. So we've got a little weird things going on here. Let me reset for a second. And one other thing to mention, too, is that Samoa is interesting. Samoa was on your side of the international dateline, and they decided to align themselves more with our side over here in New Zealand, Australia side. So they switched sides of the dateline. They actually switched sides of the road they drove on. They used to drive on the right, now they drive on the correct side. And so, you know, they did a whole lot of things to try to align themselves with this side. So I think there's a lot of politics involved in where these lines are drawn and everything. Anyway, VK2DY, back to Ned.
Yeah, isn't it an interesting cuddle of fish, I guess is the way to put it. I've never quite understood the reasoning of that one section there in the south doing what they did, and I don't think I've seen anything published. I really haven't done a lot of research on it. Well, you know, mentioning Samoa is interesting. I think that whole little group in there, Samoa and particularly Kiribati, right there or very close to the equator, sure stand out. Because they, you know, Samoa is, I think, without going back and look at my reference documents, I think they're a plus 13. Kiribati is a plus 14. So, and it's a small sector down there that is the plus 13 and the plus 14. North of them and south of them is basically a minus 11 or a minus 10. Let me buy a nickel here for a second. Now, talk about getting confusing. I, you know, when I first got into looking at some research on this for the TIN, Robert, I said, how the heck can the Hawaiian Islands out there in the Pacific be a minus 10 time zone and have Kiribati sitting in the same time zone to their south being a plus 14? And I really scratched on that one. I said, how do they figure out what's going on? And, you know, and one is a day removed from the other. Well, when I got down to the bottom line here, I figured it out that these mathematic guys were pretty doggone sharp. Because when it's 6 o'clock in the Hawaiian Islands, let's say in the morning, it's 6 o'clock in the morning in Kiribati. The only difference is that it's a different day. Kiribati is being removed by 24 hours. So if you take a minus 10 and a plus 14, you got the answer. Have you ever played with that one, Robert? Over.
Yeah, Gordon, CK2DY. I think Kiribati just sort of wants to be first. I think that was their whole intention of it. They're a small island with not much noted, and so they said, well, at least we'll be first with the new year, first with the new day. That's the only thing I can figure with what's going on with them. VK2DY.
Well, now that's an interesting observation. I hadn't thought about it that way. I knew that they were first. I thought maybe it was trade and business reasons and that stuff with the other islands and the other nations. Well, okay. Thank you, Robert. Anybody else before we go into definitions of these times? Over.
November Delta 5 Yankee.
Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Okay, guys, very good. Chief, we got you. Stand by, please. Let me pick up Tom out there in Wichita Falls. Tom, good evening. How are you, sir? KY6V, over.
Hello, Gordon and everybody. Well, I remember reading back about 1998 or 99 that they were going to move the international dateline around Samoa and Kiribati, and there was some kind of scheme because they want to be the first in the 21st century or something like that. I don't remember exactly why. ND5 line.
Well, thank you, Tom. You know, that goes along with Robert's suggestion. Maybe it was just because they wanted to be better known and be the first in line to start everything from happening on a new year and the start of each day and so on and so forth. So that, you know, sort of makes sense. Thanks, Tom. Chief, what you got? W4RFJ, KY6V.
KY6V and the group, this is W4RFJ, South Cars number 6297. I've been having fun this past few weeks, Gordon. Ever since I heard we were going to be talking about time and so forth and so such, I went on a mission to prove that I could travel through time with my radio. And connecting to the ham conference several days in a row, I talked to a young man and his bride over in Australia, and turns out when I was getting ready to go to bed, he was getting up and eating his breakfast. And I asked him what day it was, and I'm kind of curious if you would ask Robert what the date is where he is right now. Because I want to make sure everybody understands that he's a day ahead of us over there in Australia, and we're actually talking through time. We're traveling through time with the radios to talk to him, and he's talking back in time. So I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that that is a phenomenon that as amateur radio operators we can enjoy. Back over to you, Captain W4RFJ.
Interesting. I thought you were going to take that and embellish it probably a little further and say, you know, if you know the right people and they're living in tomorrow and you're living in today, which is their yesterday, then you should be able to ask those people what the lotto number is that was assigned before your day is over and get a chance at the pot. Robert, do you have any comments towards Chief's comments before we proceed? VK2DY, KY6V.
VK2DY. I sort of the entire world is sort of before us. It's sort of interesting. I have to think about what days are, and of course, every net that comes from the United States is on. You know, you think about Tuesday night net is a Wednesday morning. Thursday night net is a Friday morning.
Yeah, you dropped out, Robert. I don't know if you just hit the wrong button on the cell phone or what. Try it again, please.
Hey, Captain, I think he needs to readjust his Wayback Machine.
Turn the RF upside down. Make the negative peaks on the top and the positive peaks on the bottom. And maybe that automatically happens. We'll have to discuss that sometime. Okay, you guys, we're going to move on here. We're going to talk about GMT, UTC, and Zulu time. And speaking of that, we are 46 minutes into the hour and counting. Let's start with GMT. Which is GMT, is the clock time at the prime meridian or zero longitude in Greenwich, England. Now here the word mean means average. It refers to the fact that the noon GMT is the moment on average each year when the sun is at its highest point in the sky at the Greenwich Meridian. Because of Earth's uneven speed, its elliptical orbit, and its axial tilt, noon GMT is always when the sun crosses the Greenwich Mean Meridian. Now, you know, they do some fancy correction mathematics through the year to keep things where they should be. Now, the history of the GMT, the use of GMT began in the 19th century. We sort of touched on this, but Great Britain, when British mariners would use the time at the Greenwich Meridian and the time at their ship's position to determine the ship's longitude. And because, again, the UK was an advanced maritime nation at that time, other mariners adopted the practice, and it eventually spread worldwide as a standard time convention independent of location. Let me buy a nickel here. Now, the problem with GMT was for astronomical purposes, the GMT day was said to start at noon and run until noon the following day. Now, this made it easier for the astronomers because they could log their observation data taken overnight under a single calendar day. But for everyone else, the GMT day started at midnight. So when everyone switched to the midnight-based convention, and that was in 1920s to 1930s, the mid-based time zone was given the new name of Universal Time to avoid any confusion. Now, isn't that interesting? Let me buy a nickel. So, since this change, the term GMT isn't used much anymore, except by those living, obviously, in the UK and its Commonwealth country, where it's used to describe the local time during the winter months. It's analogous to our standard time here in the United States. So if we move into thinking about UTC time, the coordinated universal time is a modern version of the Greenwich Mean Time. As mentioned above, you know, the phrase, which refers to GMT as counting from midnight, was coined in about the 1930s. Other than this, one of the biggest differences, and this is always very interesting, at least to me, one of the biggest differences is that GMT and UTC is that UTC does not categorically, emphatically, and without a doubt, observe daylight savings time. I'm laughing about that because I think I'm seeing the world start to shift in that direction. Let me buy a nickel. Okay, so let's move on then to the third guy, which is the Zulu time definition. Now, Zulu or Z time is UTC time only by a different name. Okay? Boy, all three of these are so close. Just some minor technicalities to make them different. So to understand where the Z comes from, consider the world's time zones. Each is expressed as a certain number of hours ahead of UTC or behind UTC. For example, UTC minus 5 is Eastern Standard Time, where I'm located here at the moment. The letter Z refers to Greenwich time zone, which is 0 hours, UTC plus 0. Since the NATO phonetic alphabet, and that's the Alpha for A and the Bravo for B and the Charlie for C, the word for Z is Zulu. We also call it Zulu time. So how do you put this all together? It's awfully close. I think, in my thinking, the only big difference is the fact that GMT does recognize daylight saving time and UTC does not. Let me take another break here. So let's see what the panel has to offer and the audience to boot. Roger, did you have something on this one? W4RFJ from KY6V.
Yeah, I hope you don't mind me asking this question. This is about UTC. You know, you listen to WWV and you hear them say, at the tone, the time will be X, Y, Z, and 0 seconds. Coordinated universal time. I'm sorry, I said that backwards. But anyway, that's what's got me messed up. Why is the acronym called UTC and not CUT for coordinated universal time? You mentioned it earlier, coordinated universal time, but why can't it be universal coordinated time? Or why'd they do that?
I've been asking that question for years. Good question there, Chief. KY6V here for South Cars. Well, my answer would be to keep us all confused, you know. But, of course, I say that with tongue-in-cheek. From my reading, Chief, the UTC is a compromise between the English Coordinated Universal Time and French phrases, and I'm going to butcher this one, I know, Temps Universal Coordinate. That reminds me of a wine. Anyway, to use the same official abbreviations in all languages. Now, than that, Chief, I have no other explanation. But I like the idea of the wine. Go ahead, Chief. Any comments?
Well, you know, having to deal with all this stuff in the maritime world, I just prefer the Zulu thing. Zulu just makes it easier. And I know as far as, you know, amateur radio is concerned and the fact that I can talk into the future from where I am, you know, that makes it a big plus. But I guess, you know, it really doesn't matter as long as you know what it is and where it's starting from. So, yeah, I guess I'll keep my comments to myself. You know, I might as well keep my mouth shut, let people think I'm smart, or let them think I'm dumb and then open my mouth and prove it. I just think I just did that. Sorry about that, Captain.
All right, Tiger. Fantastic. KY6V here, and that was W4RFJ, ladies and gentlemen. We've got George in the wings up there. I think he's got another question, too. NO70KY6V. Go ahead, sir.
Well, gentlemen, I have a follow-up comment to what Chief had to say about the WWV time announcement, and then I have a question also. The comment regarding the WWV time announcement is, and as well as their digital announcement that's a silent announcement and also in the transmission. The WWV time marks are driven by the atomic clock run by the National Institute of Standards. Actually, it's run by the U.S. Naval Observatory, the atomic clock there, and they have a backup atomic clock, at, I believe, at an Air Force base. But the primary one is actually on the Massachusetts Avenue, which is known as Embassy Row. Let me reset. So if you take a look at the map of Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania Avenue kind of goes a little more west. Massachusetts Avenue goes a little more north up from the in a westerly direction. And you'll follow from the downtown D.C. area up through Embassy Row, around American University, and up in there is the U.S. Naval Observatory, which, of course, is also the on the same grounds, the Vice President's residence as well. And that's where the atomic clock is located that drives the time announcements and the WWV standards, which also then drives the GPS time standards, which are used to keep us from getting lost. So if you're ever lost in D.C., maybe using your GPS, maybe you drove too far away from the time clock. No, not just kidding on that. All right, so with that being said, my question is, why does our military use and prefer Zulu time? KY6V and the TIN, NO7O, over.
Well, thank you, George. You know, that was an interesting explanation about getting lost in Washington, D.C., particularly, I guess, with everything that's going on right now. I think a lot of people are lost, including myself, in trying to understand what you're saying. Maybe this question should have been turned over to Roger with his military training and the years that he spent in those pursuits. But I will say that I think the answer here is that Zulu time means that is using UTC standard, number one. Number two, they communicate that standard, and I'm talking about the military now, in a slightly different way to enhance their military operations. Some examples of this is they do not refer to specific time zones as minus or an hour or plus an hour. They use an alpha designator instead. The Eastern United States, which is normally considered a minus 5 time zone that you and I are in, George, would be in their scheme of things the letter R, as in Romeo. And date and time stamps on communication are shown by the military in an orderly and specific manner, but still embody the UTC basic time. So that's all I can contribute. I'm sure there's reams of things on the internet that one could devour on this subject. But basically speaking, it's like when I, let me buy a nickel here a minute. When I was in the Navy, George, I was quickly taught the understanding phrase that went, there is the right way, there is the wrong way, and there is the Navy way. And if you do the Navy way, you'll get along. Any comments, George? KY6V, over.
I'd say that sounds like pretty good advice, actually. Well, you know, in regard to getting lost in D.C. With the U.S. Naval Observatory, I've always been rather fascinated for two different reasons by the fact that the atomic clock, which is synchronized, of course, all of Greenwich Mean Time or Coordinated Universal Time, is that the end of the road that has all of the international embassies on it. So on the one hand, it's an excellent example of international cooperation where they can place the atomic clock that is the standard for all of the time measurements, and including medical devices and military devices and all of that in downtown D.C. next to these embassies, and an excellent thing for international trust that they all coexist. But then on the other hand, it is nowadays a point of risk, perhaps, with those being the on the same road and so close to each other. And of course, you know, the marks, the feed of the time information does drive so many things like the GPS receivers, because they work off of time hashes to calculate their longitudinal and latitudinal positions. So, again, time, fascinating study. Thank you, Gordon, for a chance for more feedback. KY6V on the TIN, NL79, over.
Well, thank you, George. That's great. That was NO70, guys and gals, and this is KY6V. This is the South Cars TIN November program. We're talking about time around the world. Any audio audience contribution at this point? If so, call now, please.
Well, I don't have any thing to add, but add a number of another person that's listening to the audio, KSF. And I want to know when and how quick will it come up on the South Cars website, the recording, KSFQV.
Well, hi there, Mr. Ohio. Mark, you're talking to the guy that's going to post it. And I will do my best, unless the dam breaks and the, you know, everything starts leaking, to have it posted by noon tomorrow. At least that's what I try to do after each one of these, Mark, over.
Hey, that's not a problem. You know, I know exactly what you mean. You think everything's going to work perfectly, and it should, but you never know what is going to jump in the way. It's just like driving a car down the road. You never know what's going to jump out in front of you. So I know exactly what you're saying. KCFQV?
Yeah, it sort of goes along with the saying, you know, best laid plans of mice and men. Thanks, Mark. Nice to have you with us tonight. All right, guys, we're going to go into Section 5 is the way that I'm calling it here. We're going to talk about the 180th meridian. Let me buy a nickel. And the 180th meridian, also known as the International Dateline, is interesting in several respects. And we touched on this a little bit earlier in the program. It is the home of the minus and plus 12 zone. It is the home of the plus 13 time zone. And it is the home of the plus 14 time zone. Busy little guy, huh? It is the deportation point between today and tomorrow when looking west, and between today and yesterday when looking east. The plus 13 and the plus 14 time zones were added to accommodate Kiribati. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing this one next correctly. Tokelau, I think. It's T-O-K-E-L-A-U and Samoa. And, of course, Tonga is in there also. So, in my opinion, possibly for the trivia factor, it is interesting to note, and I think I've touched on this earlier tonight, too, that the 14th time zone of Kiribati, which is close to the equator, resides in the same space zone normally would be zone 10. So I asked the question when I was preparing this to say, you know, what does this mean for the Hawaiian Islands just to the north who are in time zone 10? Some smart guys figured that out, and I think they did a dandy job. Okay, let's see what the panel has to offer on this particular sector. International Dateline. David, KB9EWG, KY6V. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Gordon. Well, one quick comment here before I move on to my question. You know, we're talking different time zones and names of zones and everything else, and one thing I have not heard mentioned, and probably would be worth mentioning, is the zero meridian is also known as the prime meridian. I have not heard that mentioned, but that, you know, since we're talking the names of the zones and everything else, I thought that would be worth mentioning, that the zero meridian is also known as the prime meridian. Anyways, interesting on the 180 zone there and all that. So with that said, what is the time in the Hawaiian Islands versus that in Kiribati? KY6B from KB9EWG.
Yeah, good comment too, David, on the prime. I didn't really think about mentioning that, but that's absolutely true. It is the prime. It is the starting point. It's where the band gets its directions to start playing. To answer your question on the Hawaiian time and Kiribati time and so on, and again, we touched on this a little bit earlier. My hat is really off, as I said to the mathematicians that figured this out, because it is exactly the same time, David. 2 to the minute and 2 to the second. And it is the same time of the day in both locations. Same time of the day that those locations are in. The difference is that they are 24 hours apart. The Kiribati time is the day ahead of the day that the Hawaiian Islands are in. But I think I use the example that if it's 6 o'clock in the morning, a.m., in the Hawaiian Islands, it's 6 a.m. in the morning in Kiribati. However, the Hawaiian Islands is just starting their day, and in Kiribati, they're just starting the new day. Does that make any sense, David? Over.
Very interesting explanation there, Gordon. Yes, it does make it clear. KY6D from KP9EWG.
RFJ.
Be right with you, Roger. And, you know, I would add to that, David, that it's so simple. When you really start asking why, and there's the answer, is that a plus 24 and a minus 10 gives you the answer of why they're the same. RFJ, go ahead, sir. Over.
Yeah, I'm probably going to get myself put in the doghouse, but I still am trying to figure out what the prime meridian has to do with all this. Okay, sorry about that.
That's where it all started, Chief. That's where the chicken crossed the road to find the egg that was already laid. Does that make any sense? Over.
No, I was playing on his prime meridian. I said prime merlinian, which has to do with the apprentice, Wizard's Apprentice movie. But anyway, the Sorcerer's Apprentice movie. I'm being corrected. Sorry about that. I just couldn't get it out of my head. I had to say something.
Hey, hi, Admiral there in the background. Keep them straight. Thanks, Raj. KY6V. David, did you have a question? GW8SZL from KY6V.
Yeah, from GW8SZL. Yeah, I most certainly do, Gordon. How many degrees is the international dateline set to at its farthest point, I was wondering?
Well, you know, that's a darn good question, too, Professor. Thank you, David. KY6V here. All of the time zones, from my understanding, are set to close to 15 degrees of longitude. In the case of the international dateline, the 180th meridian, it has three time zones that we've mentioned. That's the 12, the 13, and the 14. And so if you take three time zones at 15 apart, in width, you come up with 45. So your answer would be 45 degrees, more or less a sponge. Over.
Yeah, from GW8SRL. Yeah, thank you very much for that, Gordon. We're just wondering about that one. So back over to you, GW8SRL.
Okay, thanks. Well, I got you. How's Admiral Sue doing, sir?
Yeah, from GW8SRL. Yes, she's got to rest a lot and take painkillers. For anybody who's not aware that she's got viral pleurisy, and she's allergic to most kinds of painkillers. So it is paracetamol when the pain gets bad. Rest, drink plenty of fluids. But she's gone to bed now, about an hour ago. So she's resting and she's feeling a bit better, but the consultant said that it could take 3 to 4 weeks there, Gordon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would imagine. That's 3 to 4 weeks sounds normal to me. I'm sure sorry that, you know, she's going through this discomfort and this aggravation and so on and so forth. Well, you tell her when she wakes up from the snooze that Southcars is standing there beside her and thinking about her and wishing for a happy recovery. Okay, we're going to go into Section 6 here. We are currently at 8:15 in the evening. That's an hour and 15 minutes in the program. Let me buy a nickel. And I think if we can wrap it here probably in the next 15 minutes or so. But I'd like to talk about several ways to find time in different parts of the world. Number one would be having a time zone map handy. Is very, very useful. For starters, make sure you know your local time zone offset as related to UTC. No matter where you are in the world, you should know what time zone offset you are. You'll be a plus something or a minus something from UTC zero. Because this is sort of the basis, you know, from what all of the calculations are made. Now, if you already know the time zone offset for your location, excuse me, or country you are interested in, simply use the math to calculate your answer. And, you know, remember, you will be using both plus and minus time zones, so use the proper progression of that calculation when you do your math. If you do not have a map handy, nor the offset you are looking for, simply use the search engine on your browser. And I really recommend this. It's so fast. It's so easy. You pull up your favorite browser and you just type in time, one word, and the location, the second word, such as time Sydney. or time, whatever you are looking for. And the result is going to give you the local time, day, the UTC zone offset, and if you want to go further, it'll give you the weather. Any questions from either the panel or the audience on this one, please? KY6V, over. Okay, we're going to just go rip-snorting right into the conclusion of tonight's presentation. KY6V here for South Cars. This is our November TIN, which we hold every third Thursday of the month. With various subjects, and tonight we're talking about time around the world. So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to highlight what has been discussed here this evening. Number one, why the system was put in place, who were the originators, where they placed the starting point, and what was the ultimate reason for all of this effort. Number two, the mathematics involved in determining the time zones. Number three, how many time zones are there around the world and why are there more than 24? What are the differences between GMT, UTC, and Zulu time? What is different about the 180th meridian time zone? And what is the best and quickest way to determine the time in any location on the globe? So with that said, and before we close, are there any further comments from anybody? And may your clock in the morning have a mellow tone when it goes off. KY6V looking for tail-end comments.
Comment, the 7 Papa Golf Kilo.
Hey, I've seen you in the background lurking and listening. Ken, nice to have you aboard. How's everything up there in your part of Canada? Over.
Oh, we're doing really really good today, Gordon. It's 2 degrees Charlie, 35 degrees Fahrenheit, and we're going to get down to, I don't know, somewhere around minus 4 Charlie, which is, quickly calculate this out, I think about 39, you know, let's see, what would that be? 28 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's how that's going to work out. Very interesting subject on time. I've enjoyed this conversation listening to you guys because I don't know if you all know about this, but B.C., Washington, Oregon, California, Alaska, and Yukon are all thinking about dropping daylight saving and going straight to Pacific Standard Time. So, which will make our lives way easier in some aspect, but in other aspects it does sort of play around with the time zones a bit. So I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Anyways, very interesting subject, Gordon. I was happy to listen to this. We'll turn it back to Net Control, VE7, Papa Golf Kilo.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. You know, you can add on to that list Florida, too. About the daylight saving times, they already passed their official meetings in Tallahassee, the capital of Florida, that they're going to do away with daylight savings time. But this is an issue for the states that has to be cleared by the federal government. And although it was last year sometime that Florida made that voting decision at the board, we haven't got the input yet federally. And, you know, Ken, also, I've never heard that referred to before. I don't know where I've been. Head in a basket or something about referring to Celsius as Charlie. I like that. It just simplifies the whole matter and makes it stick out the way it should be stuck out. But I didn't hear you say Foxtrot. So if Celsius is Charlie, shouldn't Foxtrot, you know, if shouldn't the Fahrenheit being FB Foxtrot? Ken, any comment? Over.
Yep, you got me on that one. I usually do use Foxtrot, but I don't know. I'm just looking at my notes here, so I had to sort of scramble to see what the temperature was going to be for tonight because I'd written it down earlier, but I had a whole mess of other stuff written on this piece of paper. So, no, that's a good one. Yeah, you got me on that one, Gord.
Well, anyway, I like that calling it Charlie. You know, if we can call it Zulu time, we can call it Charlie weather, right? Why not? Okay, anybody else before we pitch this thing for the night? Over. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for coming by. Your panel and I had fun pulling this together. Lots of good research information is available out there on the Internet. And I know the panel and I learned an awful lot in going through what we went through for preparing for this presentation. Interesting subject. Confusing as it may be, it is what it is. Thanks for coming by. We're going to return the server back to normal use. I'm going to leave you with one parting salvo, if you allow me to ask this question, for you to think about. Is time tangible? The answer is no. Can you see time? The answer is no. Does time move? The answer is no. Do objects move around it? The answer is yes. Is time stationary? The answer is yes. If stationary, how long is it? Now, I'm afraid that only time will tell that answer. Good night, everybody, and we'll try to have the podcast up in the morning. KY6V is now clear, and everybody have a good evening that's left.